Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Fuentes Marín. Muy buenos días, amados hermanos.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Good morning, beloved brothers and sisters and friends present. And for those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in different countries. Today, Sunday, November 10th of this year, 2024. It is truly a great blessing and privilege to be able to be here in Lima, Peru, alongside these beautiful people. And God has granted me the privilege of being here with you. And He had granted Brother Miguel for me to be here. And I also had a great longing to see our sister Nelly Fuentes, who I had not seen for several years. And notice, God granted me the privilege of seeing her. And I will greet her personally soon. But in terms of seeing her, God already fulfilled my desire. So may God bless you, Nelly, Dr. Nelly Fuentes, and also Dr. Nancy and her husband. May God bless them greatly. And all those who are visiting us from other countries, may God also bless you greatly. For this occasion, our subject is persevering until the end. Preached on December 16, 2012, in Cayey, Puerto Rico. And he read us there the scripture of the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1. And here on this Bible study for that day, there he wrote to us, above on persevering until the end, he writes, persistent of the time and of age, that is above the subject, the end of the world, cosmos, world systems, for salvation, redemption, adoption. Persisting, persistent, of the time and of age, the end of the world, cosmos, world systems, for salvation, redemption, adoption. And the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 24, verse 1 says, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples come to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left there one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? His circles coming. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdoms. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And here he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And there he writes, transformed, adopted, redeemed, persevering until the end. You may please be seated. In the message that the Reverend William Branham preached to us, titled it Perseverant, he tells us, on the message Perseverant, he tells us, the word, according to Webster, on some notes I got written out here, it means to be persistent, to be perseverant, and that is into making a goal, to be persistent, and that's perseverant. To the right, he writes, perseverant, persistent, persisting. Man of all age that has faith in what they are trying to achieve has been perseverant. No man can be perseverant unless first he knows what he is trying to achieve. And you first must know. And there he writes one. He numbers them. And you first must know what you're trying to achieve. And then have faith that you are going to get, and there he writes too, what you are trying for. And that makes you persistent. Something that you know is real. Faith, and there he writes three, is based that way. Faith is not based upon a myth and upon something that, well, that just say, go do this or do that, on the word of some man. But faith takes it eternal resting place upon the word. And there he writes four. Upon the word of the Lord, upon God's word, which is the Bible. Now, in the previous ages and dispensation, the elect of God of each age and of each dispensation who were perseverant, they had struggles. They had battles. In this message, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, preached on March 27, 1994, in Bogota, Colombia, which he titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ of the Things Which Must Come to Pass. He tells us there, now, in the revelation of Jesus Christ of the things which must come to pass, there are many things that happened in past ages. If we find the Christians of early time, we will find that they were considered undesirable people. The Hebrew people, along with their leaders, said that Paul was a pestilence, and they asked the Roman Empire to take Paul's life, because he was a pestilence to the Hebrew nation and to the Roman Empire. And that is what they thought of Jesus, about Peter, about the other apostles as well. For Paul once said, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. So, the way of God, in which the children of God were on those days, was considered a way of heresy. They were called heretics. And for ages, they have tried to keep that title for the children of God. In time past, they were persecuted, thrown to the lions, crucified, burnt as well. They were persecuted and killed at different times, and branded as heretics. Now notice that all of them persisted in their age and overcome in their age as far as they were allowed to go. Now notice in this same message, perseverant, there our Brother Branham mentions some of them to us. And he tells us about Moses. He says, this is on page 6 of that message. That message was preached March 5th of 64 by the Reverend William Branham. He tells us, now, sometimes, in the path of duty, God called His man to do things that's absolutely ridiculous to the natural mind. He causes them to do something that's altogether becomes a laughingstock. For instance, what if Moses had failed? As a young man of 40 years old, a military man, and the throne, his foot upon it, all the armies of Egypt under his control, and to fail doing that, and here he goes down to Egypt, the next day after meeting this angel in the bush, with nothing in his hand but an old crooked stick from off the desert, with his wife sitting on a mule, and her Gershom on her hip, the white beard hanging way down on his waistline, perhaps. He was 80 years old, his bald head shining to the sun, and a stick in his hand, his eyes set toward the sky, and a smile across his lips. Somebody might have said, Moses, where are you going? Said, I'm going down to Egypt to take over. See? Mm-hmm. There, it is like the laughing stock. How does it make any sense that you're going to go there with a rod against an army like the Pharaoh's? When he couldn't do it with an army, how is he going to do it with a crooked stick? Oh man, you've lost your mind. You're out of your head. It was a one-man invasion. But the thing of it was, he did it. Because it was a word of the Lord. And Moses was determined. No matter what his odds was, God was with him. And he is worth more than all the odds. If men and women could only think that tonight, that the word of the Lord is truth, there is nothing else. All eternity hinges on the word. Not one word, Jesus said, will fail. Heaven and earth will, but it won't. Moses went down, and he was very persistent when he threw down his rod, and he turned into a serpent. Then he found impersonators that still linger along the path of God. Someone to try to impersonate something. And the impersonators come up to make a show out of it, threw down their rods. Moses knowed who he had talked to. And so do I. I do know who I talked to that night. In other words, all of heaven is behind us. In other words, we are walking on the safe side, even though it may seem ridiculous and the laughingstock of many. We have a heavenly army that help us and guide us through that angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire. Moses knowed who he had talked to. He knowed who he had believed. And he was persuaded that he was able to keep that which he committed to him against the hour. Only, just as God told Joshua, only be strong and of good courage. Fear not. I will be with thee wherever you go. Therefore, for this Latin American and Caribbean people who have received the Lord in His coming, I tell you, fear not and be of good courage. The Lord God of Creator of heavens and earth is with you and He is with me. Which he committed to him against the hour. Moses stood still. Then the servant of Moses ate up the serpent of the magicians. And we are taught that that same thing will be repeated again. Maybe not in the same manner, but it will repeat again in the last days. For as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so will they resist the truth. Moses was persistent, for he had an achievement, with, thus saith the Lord, behind it, I'll be with you. Now notice, in the book of Quotations, page 92, there it tells us, on paragraph 800, there he tells us, in a little part, almost at the end of that paragraph on page 92, it says, here comes Satan with all four corners of the earth, with his Protestants and with his Catholics, and all together, marching right up to the battle of Armageddon. All right. And here comes Jesus coming down from heaven with the resurrected saints' vindicated word. I said, if God speaks or sends you, he backs up what you say, see? Notice, if you're an ambassador from heaven, all heaven is behind you. And heaven is consisted of the word. Now notice, all heaven backs up that ambassador. Now look at another one that Brother Branham also tells us that he was persistent. Here he now talks to us about David. He says, and David was a little ruddy man, little fellow, probably stoop-shouldered. The Bible said he was ruddy, a little fellow. And there his brother William writes, David was ruddy with beautiful eyes. Never had no training in dwelling with spears and things, but he had been keeping sheep out on the backside of the desert. There is a place where he writes the desert and he writes the Caribbean. And a lion, remember that David was a shepherd. And a lion came in and got one of his lambs. And he went after him and slew him with a slingshot. We find a bear did try the same thing, and David overcome him. And then David said, will you stand and let that uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God? He shamed his brothers. While they said he was naughty, he had come out to see the battle, yet there was something in David that he knew that he was more than a conqueror. So he said, if you're afraid to fight him, I'll go fight him. There to the left, he writes Revelation 19:11-21. I'll go. Saul, this coming to the general Saul, and he put his armor upon him, and it wouldn't fit him. He found out that his ecclesiastical vest didn't fit a man of God. And the thing didn't. He didn't know what to do. This, I never proved this. I know nothing about this. Bachelor of Art and so forth. Take this off of me and let me go in the way that God gives me deliverance. Let me go with my slingshot. There he writes, David knew that he was the one anointed with the Holy Spirit. David knew that he was the one anointed with the Holy Spirit. Why, they said, he's a warrior from his youth, and you're nothing but a youth. He said, I am more than a match for him. Let me go. And no matter how big the giant looked and how unreal it seemed to be, David was persistent that that uncircumcised Philistine wasn't going to defy the armies of the living God that he represented. Oh, if we had more Davids in this army. I have them here. and those who are connected also, who are watching on this occasion. What a mighty army. What the beast and the image of the beast will have to face. What he will come up against won't be an easy task. Now notice, that is the army that he is preparing. And the armor that he is placing on us is the Word. Put on the whole armor of God. That is the Word. That is the revelation. There when he said, I wouldn't stand in the way of somebody who has rapturing faith. Or if we had more Davids in this army. If we had more men who would stand and be persistent. Perseverant in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, he goes on to Samson and talks to us about Samson and says, Samson had nothing, but he still could feel that the promise that God made him was still hanging on his head. He could still feel the anointing, in other words. He knowed that God was with him, for he felt them locks hanging down around his shoulders. He grabbed what was in his, could find, and it was a jawbone of a mule. And he stood with that in his hand and was persistent that it wouldn't be the jawbone or his own arm, but it would be the power of the Lord. And the power of the Lord came upon him, and he beat with that jawbone 8,000 Philistines. How did he do it? That old brittle, desert-soaked jawbone, you'd hit it against a rock, it would fly to pieces, and upon the helmets that was on those Philistines, which hung down, and big leaves stuck up on the sides, and it went over their shoulders. Imagine. That was a tremendous monstrosity that the Philistines were wearing. Inch thick and brass. He stood with his jawbone and beat down 1,000. He said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was persistent. And on the side he writes, such is the vision of the great 10th cathedral. The Spirit of the Lord. Luke chapter 4, there he tells us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. That instrument, that ministry that was promised to be in the midst of his church in a great 10th cathedral, is anointed and was anointed with the Spirit of the Lord. And today, that instrument can say, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the God Creator of heavens and earth, the Spirit of YHWH is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Now notice how the Scriptures are fulfilled in that instrument, in that messenger, and in that people. And then that people becomes the persistent people of the last day. One day a lion ran out after him, and he had nothing in his hand. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. His locks still hung on his shoulder. He rent the lion with his hands. He was very persistent, because he knowed that God's promise was with him. He was able to achieve anything, for God's promise was with him to deliver. Another persistent was that Syrophoenician woman, which Brother Branham also speaks to us about her there. Notice, he says, this Greek had heard these words. She believed it. She had many hindrances, but her faith didn't have any. Faith knows no hindrance. Her faith had no hindrance. She had, but her faith didn't have. You may have hindrances, but if you've got faith, it knows no defeat. It's positive. Let's look at some of her hindrances just for a moment. Some of them might have said. Now let us see in the scripture where that scripture of the Syrophoenician woman is. Where she went to Jesus to ask him for his daughter. In Mark and Matthew also, but in Mark is where there are more details. Let's look Mark 7. And Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, 21, there is where we have the account of the healing of the Syrophoenician woman, which is what our brother Branham will be talking to us about here. He says, some of them might have said, remember, you are of a different race. To the right, he writes, race. You are Greek, Syrophoenician by nation. He is a Jew. In other words, today, you would say, your denomination's not having this revival. It makes no difference, your denomination, whether it is or not. That woman didn't care whose denomination it was. She was a human being, had been created by God, and she had a need. And she had faith, and she was going to get it. Whether her denomination was cooperating or not, made her no difference. She started off. She might have had another critic that might have met her down the line and said, why? The days of miracles is past. We don't have miracles no more. That could have been a Jew. After she got in, her over in this country where Jesus was, across into Galilee. Days of miracles is past. There is no such a thing. Still, she was persistent. She was perseverant. The denominational barrier didn't stop her. Neither did any of them who believed that the days of miracles was past. She knew different. First thing, she had something inside of her that told her that she would get what she asked for. Oh, people tonight, if you only can hold that in your heart, that God is here to give you the desire of your heart. If you will meet His conditions, nothing can stand. And to the side He writes, meet the conditions. Notice how important it is to be able to obtain what you ask for. You must first meet the conditions. And once you meet the conditions, nothing can get in the way of that petition that you have in your heart based on that faith. Because notice, faith has to be based on something. In this message, Melchizedek, the great prince and king, there in a little part, our brother Branham says, and our brother William writes something there. Look, he says, on page 2 on this message, see, faith has got to be based upon something, not just mystical thoughts. It's got to have something basically to stand on. Faith does. And that's the reason we believe that the Word of God teaches divine healing, deliverance of soul, deliverance of the body, and we base it upon God's eternal Word. And he writes to the side, faith has got to be based upon something. Now notice, here, she is having that trial. And our brother Branham says, there might have been a bunch of women come to her and said, look, Sister Lydia, or over what her name might have been, Do you understand that your husband will leave you if you do this? No doubt, but what she loved her husband. But she couldn't curse or bless that which was in her. Something was telling her. Her daughter was dying with epilepsy. And she had to get to Jesus. And when she got there, something was going to take place. Husband or no husband. Some of them might have said, well, what are you going to do with this afflicted child if it fails? But she knew it wasn't going to fail. Something was in her that told her it can't fail. If he ever was God, he still remains God. He can't fail. Therefore, she still was perseverant. Then some of them might have said, the circle that you belong to in the society will laugh at you. Laugh or not, made her no difference. Something was inside of her. She still was perseverant. Some of them might have said, you'll be put out of your church. Put out or not put out, she was on her road. Something pulling her to Jesus. There was nothing going to stand in her way. No hindrance. She was perseverant. Nothing stood in her way. Finally, she arrived where he was. Like you. You have arrived all the way here today. Many people think, just because you get where he is at, it's all over. That's wrong. He can come here in this building tonight and show himself alive after 2,000 years by the things that he promised to do in this day. He did last night. He does every night. He does everywhere. He proves that he's still alive. And you could be in his presence. But that isn't it. No, sir. Sometimes you meet difficult when you come into his presence. She did, because there is where the struggle begins. To the left side, he writes, in his presence. When she arrived, then Jesus said, he was not sent to her race. The very one that she come believing in turned her down. This is a lesson. The very one that she had went through all these gates of sorrow and disappointment and everything to get there. So many speaking to her against, you never obtained that, don't go there. By something pulsating inside of her, telling her to go. When she got there to him, he turned her down flat. And besides that, in other words, to top it off, he said her race was nothing but a bunch of dogs. And he writes to the site, dogs equals Gentiles. There is a writing in a study. I don't know if, now that I see this, I remember a place where he wrote Joshua. He wrote next to it. And Caleb, he writes, equals dog. Notice. He represents the Gentiles, but put that together. We have to search for that later on, because we have to see what he wrote there. He said her race was nothing but a bunch of dogs. And he writes, dogs equal Gentiles. It's not meat for me to take the children's bread and feed it to you dogs. And to the right he writes, dogs equals Gentiles. What if he would have called the Pentecostals dogs? My, I don't know what would have happened. What if he would have said, Methodist dogs, Baptist dogs? My opinion, went back and told the pastor he was right after all. There wasn't nothing to this fellow. But if you've got a hold, and something has got a hold of you, it's going to be different. I'm not sent to you, race of dogs. Not meat for me to take the children's bread and give it to you. I'm not sent to you. Your revival is not, your company is not sponsoring this, and I am not sent to you. And it isn't meet for me to take my time upon you when you're nothing but dogs. And why should I waste my time on you? What a disappointment that would have been to a woman that didn't have faith, that wasn't determined. Oh, if the church could only see that. But still, she held on. And a little further on, and a good born-again faith in God, a real, genuine Holy Ghost faith, nothing is going to turn it down. It can't do it. It's persistent. It's going to the goal that God has promised to it. There is nothing going to turn it down. It's going anyhow, yes? She wasn't a hybrid. And further on, he says, that woman wasn't that type. She wasn't no hybrid plant. She had got a hold of something. You didn't have to baby her and spray her and say, now, darling, please, now let me beg you. You should come down. No, sir. Nobody. Everything trying to hinder her. A real Christian fights for his position. And there he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And he also writes, where we had read about baby her, he writes, do not baby him. He has to stand alone, him and God, and he fights every inch of ground, so you don't have to baby them around. That's what's the matter with the Pentecostal church today. We got Pentecostal babies that's just been sprinkled and sprayed with this and that and the other, till it's run out to a bunch of hybrids. And he draws an arrow to the seventh age. What we need today is a house cleaning from the pulpit all the way to the janitor, and a starting over again, and get some genuine faith born into people. In the message, Revelation, chapter 4, third part, tells us on page 21, and this is from the Book of the Ages, where this message is. I have it here in the booklet, but it's in the Book of the Ages, the thick one, page 593 of the book in Spanish. There, our brother Branham tells us that paragraph 96, he says, think of it. Only thing that'll back off God is blood. And there's only one blood that he'll back from. And that's his own son. When he sees that's his own son's blood, he'll back. Because that's the gift that God has given to his son, to redeem those who he had foreknown. And it brings God back from his judgment. But when that blood is removed, and there, he makes an arrow going upward. And he writes, going upward, cleansing of the sanctuary. And all that was foreknown has been called into the precious body. His church has been made ready and taken up. And he writes, rapture. Then God's wrath is on the people. And to the right, he drew a cornerstone and the ages. Now notice he continues to say, no, she wasn't a hybrid, as a so-called crop of believers is today. What did she do? She admitted he was right, the Word. And faith always admits the Word is right. Why did she admit that what he was saying was so? Because she was also an original product. She was not a hybrid. Therefore, everything that Jesus spoke out of that mouth, she would say, thus saith the Lord. Even though it was hard for her to hear that. But one word cannot deny another word. She could not deny what Jesus was speaking, because she was Word. She was an attribute of God. Therefore, one attribute and another, they knew each other. They understood each other. But she remained persistent. And faith always admits the word is right. Amen. If your faith don't punctuate every word of God's word with an amen, there is something wrong with your experience. The Bible said, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you don't say amen to that, then there is something wrong. It is like saying now, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. See? Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. If you don't say amen to that, then there is something wrong. If he doesn't punctuate every word of God promised with an amen, there is something wrong. Amen. Amen. She admitted that he was right. She admitted she wasn't nothing but a dog. He writes to the side, dog. But she was after crumbs. Wouldn't be us. Oh, no. We have to be set up on a seat. And if they don't minister to me the first night, I'm not going back to the next night. Now see, oh, what a difference she was. Put back and shoved back, shoved out. But outside, whatever it was, she was determined. She was persistent, perseverant. Something on the inside of her told her that she was going to get it regardless of how long she had to wait, what she had to go through. She would get it anyhow. She was after the crumbs. And he underlines crumbs. She didn't want a full course dinner, she said. The dogs eat the crumbs under the master's table. That's the way to do it. Don't take the high seat. Take the back seat. Don't do. Just be the little person. The way up is down, always. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He that exalts himself shall be abased. The way up is down always. Remember, that's when, I don't know if in the seals where he was talking about, if that man had gone up the way that he went down, it would have been different. In other words, he went up like a hotshot. And he came down humbled. If he had gone up humbled, simple, let us see in the seals, if they find it, so that you may have that portion there. 61 of the seals. Remember, friends, don't look for great big. You say, God, He speaks of great big things. There will come a time there will be this, that, or the other great big things. I hope you're catching what I'm talking about. And you'll be so humble, you'll miss the whole thing. Just go right on. See? And you'll look back and say, well, that never did come to. See? Pass right over the top and you never even seen it. There is where he writes. They will say, he never came to pass. Just went by. See? It's so simple. See? God lives in simplicity. See? To manifest himself in greatness. What makes him great? Because he can simplify himself. How God has simplified everything at this time for the blessing of His children. He has made it so simple that even the children have already identified the seventh seal. They already say, He is the anointed one of God. Because he can simplify himself. A big, great man can't simplify himself. He has got to be a dignitary, see? But he ain't big enough yet. When he comes big enough, then he comes down like this, you see, can humble himself. And the old saint said up there in Chicago, that fellow went up with all the education and things, said, he come down wiped out, head hanging down, walking out defeated. He said, if he would have went up the way he came down, he'd have come down the way he went up. Well, that's right. Humble yourself. Just be humble. Don't try to be peculiar. Just love Jesus. Say, Lord, if there is any guile in my heart, if there is anything wrong, Father, I don't want to be like that. You take it away. I don't want to be like that. Oh, I want to be numbered as one of them in that day, Lord. And I see the day approaching. See the way? The attitude before the Word of God? Now notice, he goes on to say, remember, she had never seen a miracle. She was a Gentile. But she had faith. She was something like the harlot Rahab. She said to the spies, she didn't say, wait till I see how Joshua combs his hair. What? How does your general all look? Or what kind of a sword does he use? What instrument have they got? What kind of warfare? She said, I have heard that God is with you. That's good enough for me. I want mercy. She believed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Watch, for this saying, Jesus said, because she was persistent and coming. Now, at first, she called him Son of David. Now, she had, as a Gentile, had no claims on him as the Son of David. But when she said, Lord, he was her Lord, but not the Son of David to it. She had the right approach to God's gift. And that's the only way to ever receive anything, is come the right approach. She was the first Gentile that a miracle was ever performed on. Faith admits the word is right. It's humble and reverent. And the same is today. Be willing to take any part, anywhere, just so I get there. Another case, he tells us about the women back in California, in which, he says, it reminds me here not long ago, a little woman coming from California, when I still lived in Jeffersonville. It's been about 3 or 4 years ago, she had a tumor, and the tumor alone weighed 50 pounds. She had to pack her into the building, set her back. She knowed I was to be there that night. She thought I was going to pray for the sick. But I just come to speak to the audience. Maybe about what we got in here tonight. After getting through speaking, some of them had told her, he doesn't pray for the sick tonight. But she wanted to be prayed for. She said in her heart and believed. She had been in the meeting before and said, I believe if Brother Branham would pray for me, I would be healed. And that night, two or three of the diacons passed her around and went out by the side of the building, come around to the back, laid her at the door. And I started walking out with Billy Paul through the back. She grabbed me by the trousers leg like that. She said, Brother Branham, she said, I've always believed if you would ask God, God would heal me. I put my hand over on her. I said, then, sister, according to your faith, be it unto you. And he writes, according to your faith, be it unto you. A few months after that, I met her over in a meeting there. There she was, standing with a perfect waistline. The 50-pound tumor was gone. She said, I'll take any woman in here in the dressing room and let her see if there is a mark on me anywhere. Here is my picture, what I was. What was it? Whether you was praying for the sick or not, she was persistent. She had come from California to be healed, and she wasn't going back any other way but being healed. She was persistent. That is why what you have come to seek today, if you're persistent, you will leave this place with what you have desire in your heart. And with faith, you have believed it, and you will come out, and God will answer that blessing. Be persistent. Be perseverant. Now notice, Brother Branham says here, she was persistent. And Brother William writes, persistent. Now notice, our Brother William continues to say here in the message, and at the end of time, there will also come a time of squeeze, of persecution, where the true children of God will be conceptualized as heretics, because they will be speaking the truth of the divine program, and they will be identifying the two seeds, the seed of God and the seed of the enemy. They will be identifying the wheat and the tares in the form of human beings, because the wheat represents human beings, and the tares represents human beings also. The wheat represents human beings of the kingdom of God, the children of the kingdom, and the tares represent the children of the devil. On page 121 on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1071, the Reverend William Branham tells us in this excerpt, if it was spoke and told exactly what things would take place down through the age, and you are witnesses of that, as you witnessed last night from the discernment on down, and how there will be impersonators impersonating and everything take place. But the last thing was to be a great thing would take place. There he underlines great thing. We've been watching for it for years, and we all know when it happened first, when a creation come into existence the third time, and then the fourth time. Last night I told you the fifth time it happened, and is waiting for this council of churches, when it unites, and the Protestants, if I speak Sunday morning, that's what I want. I mean Saturday morning, that's what I want to speak on, see, now. And then when this gets together, then the Spirit of God always raised a standard against them. And he writes there Moses and Elijah. Above standard, he writes Moses and Elijah. And at the end, he writes Revelation 11, 3-7. And to the left, going upward, he writes fifth time creation. He also writes, God will raise a standard. And there at the bottom he also writes, when the squeeze comes. Now notice, our Brother William continues to say, and both groups of human beings will be identified and will be clearly pointed out in the final message of God. Isn't it this happening today? Why is this happening? Because God has sent those reaping angels. Matthew chapter 13. In complete fulfillment, to make the separation, the segregation. And they will be clearly pointed out in the final message of God, as they were also identified in the message of the seventh angel messenger, forerunner of the second coming of Christ. Now, that is on page 141, when he speaks about the reaping angels, paragraph 12, 60. Now he goes on to say, now, when the truth is spoken in terms of who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are, the children of the devil will always rise up against it, saying that they are the true children of God. And then they will persecute the true children of God. On page 15, from the Book of Quotations, paragraph 105, he tells us, we've got freedom of speech. And here on speech, he writes above, expression, word. Certainly we have. First thing you know, they'll try to stop all of this. They'll try to quit praying for the sick and put a band on it. And just remember that when persecution rises, the church, it comes to its very high then. And he writes, the rapturing faith. It is always the best. Yes, sir. And God is working it all together. Now remember that the third pool is for the lost, for the church, that is for the foolish, and for the bride. Page 119, and for the 144,000. Paragraph 1057 on page 119 says, watch the third pool then, see, and it will be absolutely to the total lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. Lost, he writes 1, 2, and 3. In other words, he numbers them. And for the Hebrew people. Now notice, here on page 15, what we read, on top he writes, on paragraph 105, he wrote on top, the squeeze and the blessing. We know that in the midst of the squeeze, we will obtain that great promise after the resurrection of our transformation. That promise, that blessing, will come in time of squeeze. Forewarned is forearmed. In other words, what is coming will be very hard. But notice, it is a perseverant people. It is a people with the full armor of God on, and they move forward. Be not afraid, be not dismayed. Now, everything that is moving in the world is already preparing for that final showdown. They will think that he's a lamb, but he is a lion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He has already made the change at this end time. And he is in the midst of his church roaring, making himself known to all the children of God and giving them the revelation in which those seven thunders contain the rapturing faith. Now notice on page 103, there's a place here, let us see. In this writing, our brother William says here, the interlaces between one message and another, one joins the other. They embrace in divine love. Even though some people, persons, fight and persecute those of the new age and those of the new dispensation, the interlaces between one message and the other. One joins the other. They embrace in divine love, even though some people, persons, fight and persecute those of the new age and those of the new dispensation. And in this other writing, he also writes there, the elect cannot persecute another elect. An elect cannot hurt another elect. The elect cannot persecute another elect. An elect cannot hurt another elect. Now notice on page 103 of the Book of Quotations. In other words, when you see people attacking and persecuting God's chosen ones at this end time, that person cannot be an elect. As simple as that. He cannot hurt another elect. If you see someone hurting another in any way at this end time, that person is not an elect. See how he says that they would be identified? How the church will know? Now notice on page 103, paragraph 893 says, then there is a persecution coming upon all those who won't unite with it, and a boycott, and it'll be too late then. You've already took the mark. Don't say, I'll do it then. You better do it now. Ramesses was growing. But remember, while Ramesses was growing into power in Egypt, God had Moses in the wilderness. He was growing too. Ramesses had a political system. God had a spiritual system under a prophet ready to come down to speak to the people. They're both growing again. And to the right there, he writes Amos 3:7, where he says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. They're both growing again. It'll be a showdown, one of these days. And there he writes, great tent cathedral. Blessed be the Lord forever. And where we read there about Samson, where he placed that. Now notice where he says, it'll be a showdown one of these days. And he also draws a cornerstone in the ages. Though he had already prophesied, and he proved that he was right, but yet he was in the school of wilderness, hid away from the rest of the world. But he was schooled, being trained, out in the wilderness. At the top he writes, Moses equals the persecution, the boycott. And at the bottom he writes, Moses being trained in school, in the wilderness. And that's where he writes. Notice we landed in the place where we were talking about a few minutes ago about the Caribbean. Shepherding sheep. He was a shepherd. Shepherding sheep. He was a shepherd. The wilderness equals the Caribbean. More clearly, Puerto Rico. We are in the day. In other words, the light has been turned on. And now we see everything clearly, just as I am seeing you today, this morning, clearly. Where are the elect of God? Here you are. It's no longer a letter. Now that letter has taken life. And now we raise up our hands. We say, Amen. We see each other. We hear each other. Oh, blessed be the Lord. That word took life. Today, those words have been fulfilled, those scriptures before us. You say, I am that letter. On 889 also tells us there, the spiritual mind can look down in Egypt and see that persecution rise. Can see Joseph, and he writes, Holy Spirit. Can see Joseph taken away, in order that the persecution could rise. And then see God with his will in the wheel. And he writes, the will in Christ. everything moving around just perfectly. See Potiphar reject Joseph. See that lie told. And see Joseph in the prison and his beard is growed out, excommunicated from his brethren. But then, all of a sudden, God moved in, see? How we can see that will in the wheel, moving. God's great plan moving everything up to this Exodus, to this time when He would call His people back in the land again. And there He writes, the wheel in the wheel. And on the top He writes, Joseph, the Exodus today, and the squeeze. And He writes, to look upon Egypt, above there, He writes, the Gentile kingdom. Now, our brother William continues to say here, in the time of Jesus of Nazareth, you see, they were persecuting the Son of God. They were persecuting Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus says to them, this, when Miguel says, Luke calls Him Jesus of Nazareth. See, He identifies Him who He is. And when Miguel says, Jose Benjamin's Paris of Puerto Rico, it's the same thing. He says that it would be parallel in every way. Therefore, there is already a people testifying where He is from. And Jesus says to them, you want to kill Me? They say to Him, we don't want to kill you. He says to them, yes, you want to kill Me. And what you want is something else and not the benefit of the people. Notice on page 45 on the book of quotations. In paragraph 381. He tells us. But the true Pentecostals was pressed out, killed, and murdered, and put to death by the popes and bishops and so forth, bloody as it could be. Now, someday, that's going to cost me my life. And above that, he writes, Revelation 11, 3-6, the 50 Elijah. There the fourth Elijah is speaking. And notice how that dream which that sister had and all the things that Brother Branham spoke related to the two olive trees, all of that would pertain to the end of time where the seventh seal would be opened to the church bride. In other words, the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord for the bride, which is the seventh trumpet, Moses and Elijah for the Hebrews. And he was showing what would happen later on when the Holy Spirit told him, this is not going to be now, it is not now, but it will be later on. In other words, what will cost the life of the 50 Elijah? Notice what we have been reading there. See, to say that. But that's one thing sure. I know which way I'm headed. Now I know in what I am. The 50 Elijah is speaking there. Why the 50 Elijah? Because the 40 Elijah is there in the Reverend William Branham. But once he speaks these things, he then is speaking about the future. In other words, today, this comes to life because this morning I can say, I know where I'm headed and what I am. See? Just keep dripping with blood. But it's getting the hour now, which you see according to what's going on in the nation that isn't going to be long. Don't you never back up on that. That's the truth. Stay right with it. Mingle your blood like them in that day. Above he writes, the persecutions. And he draws Star of David right next to the paragraph at the top, to the left. Now, our brother William continues to say, what did they want? He spoke to them in a parable, where he shows them that God, the householder, sent different messengers, different servants, showing through this the times that God sent prophets to the Hebrew people. And he says that they killed many, and others they sent away empty. But the master of the family, the father of all, sent them to receive the fruit, and they would not. And the master of the family says, I will send my son. Perhaps they will have respect of my son. Notice on page 121, paragraph. It says, and remember, that was the last sign that was given to the elected church, Abraham and his bunch, before the promised son appeared. Is that right? God has given Abraham signs of all along the journey, and so has he the church. But when the angel of the Lord came down and do that, he destroyed the unbelieving Gentiles. And the expected son that had been waited for appeared, Isaac. This ministry will end soon, and the expected son will appear himself. And he writes, Christ in his angel. And he also writes, going upward to the right, the angel destroyed the Gentiles. He also writes at the bottom left corner, son, S-U-N, dash, Moses. And on the top he writes, Isaac. And on top he writes, the son of Abraham will come. Equals Christ. When the ministry of the fourth Elijah ends. The next one is the fifth Elijah. There is no fourth and a half Elijah, but rather the fifth Elijah. And where did we see these days that the sword was passed on? To that instrument? To that other one? Who packs the truth? In the book of the seals. There on page 558. Where he says, to pass the sword to another one who is honest and carries the truth. 558. And when it comes to the time that I must lay down and I get down to the river. There on top he writes, Revelation 19:11-21. And the waves begin to come in, O God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else that'll be honest with it, Lord, and will pack the truth. And he writes, the word to Moses and Elijah, the angel of Jesus. And he told us that that ministry was the ministry that the Holy Spirit would be operating in a great tent cathedral. A living ministry. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, but a person or a people who have no reverence for the one sent by God, even if God sent his son, they will have no reverence for him either. He says, I will send my son. Maybe they will reverence him. And what did those people say? This is the heir. Let's kill him and we'll keep his inheritance. They wanted to keep the inheritance of God. They wanted to get the control of all the things of God. This is the heir, so we are not going to let him take the inheritance. We are not going to take him control over the Hebrew people and over the Hebrew religion. Let's kill him. And in that way, we will remove the heir. In the message, the indictment, the Reverend William Branham tells us, on page 52, this message was preached on July 7, 1963. And he tells us, big churches and denominations is his new Calvary. I say it again. This, their modern striptease, are their choirs. The high priest of each denomination cries out like the high priest of that day. Now come down and show us a miracle. That was the first crucifixion. It's the same thing today. And to the left he writes, they ask for miracles. It's the same thing today. I've had them say, well, now you raise the dead, do you? Why don't you go up there? You got a wife in the graveyard. You got a baby up there. They're speaking about Brother Branham in that way. They said to him, and here he's speaking about Jesus, we heard you raise the dead. Wait, the person still speaking about Brother Branham. We got a graveyard full of them up here. Come raise them. Oh, ignorance will breed ignorance. See? Big churches, big choirs, high priest of this day, come down, show us a miracle that our denomination can't do. And there he writes, make a squirrel, etc., today. I had a man not long ago that made a remark on after a little broadcast I had in Jonesboro, Arkansas, telling about some women being healed. This fellow belonged to a certain denomination of church, and he got up behind there and said, I challenge any man to bring me and show me a miracle. He was offering $1,000. He says later on, I went and got a doctor. A man had been cured with cancer. I went and got a woman that had been in a wheelchair for about 20 years. She was healed of arthritis. Now notice, where is that he speaks about 20 years? It's in a quote, which is, he's telling about, I think it's the woman in the stretcher, that she testifying, I have been laying in bed for over 20 years. See if you can find it. Should be on 97 or 320. Or 103. He's narrating there. There's a piece of canvas stretched there, and in behind this canvas was a little square building, about 20 foot across and 20 foot long, something like that. Well, I stood and looked at that, and I seen them bringing a lady up on a stretcher, and there was a lady there taking her name and things with on paper, and so there's someone come and got her and push her through, and the next man come through was with crutches. I see them go through that little building, and on the outside, the lady come out, screaming to the top of her voice, pushing this stretcher. Then there was another lady on the other side, looked like a kind of a dark-haired woman, and she said, what happened? She said, I just don't know. She said, I couldn't tell you what happened. She said, I have been paralyzed for 20 years. It seems that she had trouble due to paralysis, arthritis, or something. And looky, and I feel like I never was sick. And there he writes, paralyzed for 20 years. And he also writes there, referring to the one who was interviewing, a dark-haired woman. She was healed of arthritis. In other words, he searched for that woman who had been healed, being in a wheelchair, and took it over and said, now I want the money, $1,000. In other words, he showed the evidence to that person who was challenging there. He said, well, it isn't here. It's over in Waco, Texas, where our headquarters is. I said, all right, we'll just go over there and get it. I said, you make the arrangements and we'll go tomorrow. See? I said, we'll mail. I said, here's a doctor to say that these people absolutely have cancer. Here it is on the list, X-ray. Here is this woman that the whole neighborhood knows she sat in that wheelchair for 20 years, and she is walking right now. And the doctors had been doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor and everything, and here she is alive today. Now you said you'll give $1,000. I want to put it in missionary fund. I want it. Brother Branham says, see, he said, well, it's over at Waco, Texas. I said, we'll go tomorrow. He said, wait a minute. He interrupts there and says, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. I'll take a little girl. There that person comes. Look how he expresses himself. Now look at how our brother Branham says, I'll take a little girl with me and let me take a razor. See, he's showing him that she was healed. That man also that had the evidence, and they did not believe. The unbeliever is still an unbeliever, whether they perform miracles for him or not. No one can make him believe. He says, I'll take a little girl with me and let me take a razor and cut her arm. Look at what kind of a man. And then you heal it before our brethren, and they'll give you the money. We could say so many things about a person like that here. I said, look at how Brother Branham told him, and I don't have to say it. He said it. I'm going to read it. I said, you devil, if thou be the Son of God, come off of this cross. There he's speaking about Jesus. This is the part that I wanted to get to. Tell us who hit you. With a rag around his head, hit him on it and said, now, if you be a prophet, tell us who. Prophesy. If thou be the Son of God, come down off the cross. And there to the right, he drew a Star of David. Blind leaders of the blind. They need mental healing. A man that do a thing like that or make a remark like that, certainly. Oh, woe unto those who make remarks. Well, you know what? You are a devil if you think that way. See how, with the message, we start to identify who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil? As simple as that. Weed and tares. Being separated. And he writes to the left, those who ask for signs. The familiar old cried, though, let us see you do miracle. Master, we would desire a miracle from you, when every day, every hour, it was happening right along, just as God would lead it to be done. You are a miracle. How many miracles are here? All of us. You want to see a miracle? Look at your brother. Look at yourself. You are a miracle of God. At this end time, you have been able to see and understand by the mercy and grace of God the seventh seal. That is a great miracle. That once we were blind and today God opened our spiritual eyes. You want miracles? Connect with the Great Tent Cathedral and watch the broadcast. But they have a devil, Brother Branham says. People who think like that. But they wasn't present. See? Mm-hmm. If they was, they called it Beelzebub, the devil, see? Master, we desire if you do it the way we want you to do it. That's it. Go where we want you to go. Do what we want. God is no one's toy. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They had no string on him. No, sir. That's the reason they had to get him out of their midst. Yes, sir. They're trying to do the same thing today. And there he drew a real big Star of David on the side. And throughout the Federation of Churches, they'll finally accomplish to do it. See? All of them going together. The familiar old cry. Here we see again the most religious place, the best polished theologians calling out again and against him calling out, which ought to know different. The very highest churches and best trained theologians cast him out of their midst. They don't want it. You say, that's wrong, Brother Branham. Then you wasn't here to see the church ages or hear it preached. You wasn't here when this Laodicean church age was the only one that they cast him out of the church. And he was out, the outside, knocking, trying to get back in. They cast him out because they haven't got no use for him. They crucify him afresh. Amen. How long could we go? Remember, the prophet of God's word foretold us in 2 Timothy 3, if you're writing it down, we haven't got time to read it, but said that in the last day, scoffers would come. 2 Timothy 3. They would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. Treaty, heady, high-minded, scholarly, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And he writes there, turn away from them. Separate yourself from them. For this is the sword that takes silly, bob-haired women, short-wearing, painted faces, from place to place, and lead them captive. That's exactly. He said, turn away from it in the last days. Let's obey the prophet. Turn away from those things in the last days. They're here. I'm calling to the church now. Yes, sir. Get away from it. They have the ministries of this day should know these things. They should have known Jesus in his days. They should have known. And now they should know it. But they don't know it. Just as the Jewish teachers of his days should have known him by his day. So it is today of God's clearly a vindicated word then. He was the word and he proved he was the word. He proved he was the word for that day. And God has proven today that he is the word of this day, the light of the hour. And they should have known it then. And they should know it now. They crucified him then. And they crucify him now. I indict them of it. And he writes to the site, indict them. Right? It just keeps flashing through me. Indict them, because God is going to make them pay for it. The Jews in their day, God again in the days on earth, Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you in one great big group, but you would not. How God has tried in this last day to unite his people together, but you would not. You've desired your creed, so now you've given over to destruction. That's what Jerusalem received. She was torn down, burnt down. She's no more. And that's exactly what will be some of these days to all these big things here. Your big creeds and denominations will die and perish, but the word of God will be eternal and live forever. See? There he writes, given over to destruction. And he also writes, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he writes, Tucson, Tucson. His deepest wounds come from the house of so-called friends. Think of it. Think of it. Stop. I'm waiting a minute. Ministers, think of it. Where did his wounds come from? The house of his so-called friends. Didn't Judas come there and said to him, "Friend, what are you coming for?" He called him friend. Notice he did not treat him with contempt, nor did he reject him. Even though he knew what he went there for, why he left and why he came back. The house of his so-called friends, as it was, so it is. He underlines and circles, so it is. Think of it at Calvary. There he writes to the right, he received his wounds in the house of his friends yesterday and today. Further on here, I think, is where he says, at the pulpits. He wasn't surrounded by savages, barbarians, but by ministers who claimed to love him. And today, when the gospel is truly identified, when the great signs of his resurrection is proven among us, it isn't the street out there that jumps on you. It's the so-called ministers. Them that's supposed to love him is what he's surrounded by today. We'll not have that thing among us. We'll not have this man rule over us. We'll not support. This is what they say. We don't want him to rule on us. We'll have no cooperation about that in the city if that thing comes this way. See? That is the fulfillment. If it comes in that way, nope, that's not. I don't want him like that. I don't believe it. As he said in that message, where he said, it is not the opinion of one person or the opinions of another. Rather, is the Word made flesh is what will unite. If people's opinions are not in line with the Word, they are worthless. It's nothing but spiritualism. It's the devil, not knowing the Word of God. The blind leading the blind. As it was then, think, so it is now. Just as it was then, so it is now. Think. He to the left writes, Son of David, today. His power to heal and to set men and women free from the love of this present world, from the bobbed hair, painted face Jezebel that calls themselves Christians and producing such a life as that. Cigarette smoking, dirty joke telling. Sit down and have a missionary society and stitch and sew and talk and scandals and get out to the street and wear shorts and everything like that, and then call themselves Christians before other women. You remember my story about the slave knowing he was a son of a king? And he writes, the one of the king, his character. What ought we to be? Men and women, and deny. These clergymen, these pulpits where he gets his pierces, they have put up and endorsed that kind of living amongst the people where they pierce him. They deny the power to set them free from it, and they endorse it to be so, when it's contrary to the Word of God, for a woman to bob her hair, or to paint her face, or to wear shorts. It is contrary to the Word of God, but they endorse it, making another Calvary. From where? From the street? From the barroom? From the pulpit. From the pulpit. And again, what was the cry? He makes himself God. They deny his deity. There is a place where he says in the same message that they should wear petticoats. Something like that. I think we have read it. If you find it, tell me the page in the message, the indictment. It is God who is speaking this morning. Blessed be the Lord. Let us look at page 50. Perhaps this version, it is 42. He says, what's this women take off their clothes for and go down the street? Don't tell me it ain't the same thing. It's an identification. Don't condemn the man. But they are protected by a Sodom law. That law ought to say it's unlawful for them to be out there. And preachers in the pulpit ought to have petticoats instead of the clergy coat. Standing out there and will permit it. And ashamed to speak against it because their denominations will put them out. They're paying attention to other things, to what the Word of God says. Ashamed to speak against it because their denominations will put them out. You crucify to the congregation the Word of God which says, it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment that pertains to the man. I condemn the thing. I accuse it of crucifying the Word of God before the people. Bob-haired women, short wearing, and the crown standing up in the choir. Now we continue saying here, on page 47, and again, what was the cry? He makes himself God. They deny his deity. They try to split him up and make three or four gods out of him. When he is God, he was God, he'll always be God. The same yesterday, and he writes in Jesus, today, and he writes Elijah, and forever, Moses and Elijah. When you talk about one God to them, they laugh at you. We believe in a holy Trinity. I believe in one holy God, yes sir, his power to heal, to set free, and to take these people out of the love of the world, to free them like he did Mary Magdalene. Remember, she was a little painted up Jezebel too. She had seven devils in her. She was a striptease. Just like the modern woman on the street today, go anywhere you want to and look. If you don't believe people bow at the shrine of naked women, look out on the street today, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. Look out. If you don't believe it, just go anywhere. Open up a paper, open up a magazine, look at the billboard. What do you find? Remember what it said, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men was fair, they taken unto them women. Look at the scandal in England. Look at the scandal here. Look at the whole thing. Has become a house of prostitution. Why is it? Why did Russia become communism? Because of vulgar and dirtiness and the non-power of the Catholic Church. That's exactly why this nation is taken over. Communism and the Federation of Churches and joining itself up with the Catholic Church, which communism and Catholicism will unite together. Now, I was watching in the news, the vote of the Catholic Church and also the Protestant Church were the one that made that President Trump to win. Notice how everything is being fulfilled in a way that if we do not watch, which communism and Catholicism will unite together, you know. And here they are doing it. There he writes, communism, the Confederation of Churches, the Catholic Church. Why? Because they have rejected the gospel that separates them and makes them a different people. That's exactly the reason. And ministers in the pulpit is putting up with it. for a meal ticket for a social standing of some creed, say, I belong to so-and-so, swapping education for the power of God. Free them from this mad race like Mary Magdalene. The very power that could take that little striptease on the street and make her put on clothes and act like a lady. Make a Christian out of her. They condemned that power and crucified the man that had it at Calvary. And he writes, they condemned that power and crucified the man who had it, which will happen in the fulfillment of Revelation 11. Now notice in the message titled The Lord Jesus Christ Opening Doors, our brother William tells us, preached on January 31st, 2009, in Bogota, Colombia, he says, and now the Holy Spirit will go up higher, and he has to have an instrument there to veil himself and to reveal himself through him, and to bring us the word pertaining to that eternal church age, the age of the cornerstone, to bring us the former and latter rain, the gospel of the grace and the gospel of the kingdom. It is the harvest age also, and for the harvest, the latter and the former rain have to come. Therefore, that is our age, which has an open door, and that door is Christ. He is the one who opens and no one closes. No one will be able to close that door that has been opened in our age. And here, notice, he writes in this Bible study, the scripture of Revelation 4, he writes, the door of escape for the church bride to go to the supper, the second coming of Christ. Do you want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, you have entered to that door. There, he drew a door in the part of the holy place, which that door was Christ in his first coming. And then he draws a door in the little cornerstone. That is the door of the second coming of the Lord. And in order to be there, they have to enter through there. There is no windows, there is no opening, there is no little place around there to get in there. They have to enter through the door. Or they will go through what happened to that person when they saw him. What are you doing here? He got in through a window. But notice, later on, where did they get him out through? Through the door. And he must leave. He cannot say, no, but that, no, Lord, we did this. We did that. I do not know you. And that is the sad part. Because he will say to them, I know you not. They spurned God's mercy for the last time. Now he goes on to say, and he is the one who closes and no one opens. When he closes the door of the dispensation of grace, no one will be able to open it, and no one will be able to enter through that door, because the time of redemption will be over. Christ's time of intercession in heaven for people will be over, and he will already be as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords in his claiming work, in the age of the cornerstone, where he will have his final manifestation. Notice how clearly he spoke to us. But notice that when he was saying this, the door of the dispensation of grace was still open. But he says that when that door would be closed, then no one else would be able to enter through the door of the dispensation of grace. And that door would be closed, but a door would open. And that door is Christ in his second coming. And he says that he would have a final manifestation. Well, then he has to have an instrument where he fulfills that promise as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us look on page 87 of the Book of Quotations. Paragraph 749. It says, the trumpet sound at the same time the seals. It's just the same thing. The church age opens, just the same thing, see? Now, a trumpet always denotes war, or otherwise, political disturbance. There, to the right, he draws Star of David. The trumpet does, a political disturbance, and that causes war. When you go to get missing in politics, and get them all messed up, like we got it now, look out. War is at hand. But see, the kingdom still belongs to Satan. He'll still got this part in his hand. Because why? It is redeemed by Christ. But he's doing the part of the kinsman redeemer, taking his subject, until the last one, name, is put on that book, has already received it, and been sealed away. There to the side he writes, confusion, fire, war. And he also writes, or draws Star of David at the bottom. And he writes, name in the book. Now, have you got it? Then he comes from his throne, his father's throne, walks forwards, takes the book out of God's hand from the throne and claims his right. The first thing he does is call for his bride. And there to the left he draws Star of David. What does he do after he takes the title deed, opens it in heaven and brings it to open to earth and gives it to a man? What does that man do? Call his bride. Call you. Now, they may say, but they were already there. That was a work of Dr. Soto. Of course it is. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. But inside, there was shock. There was tears. And that separation had to take place. That segregation. And the only one who can do that is the angel of the Lord. He's the one who can say which is right and which is wrong. And he calls his bride to go up higher, to the age of the cornerstone, to enter through that door. Come up hither, eagle of God. You don't belong down there. Fly high, come up hither. Amen. Then what does he take? He takes his opponent, Satan, and binds him and cast him into the fire out there with all that followed him. Now, when we get on the trumpets, we'll go back there and pick up each one of them wars and show you that they followed them churches. And above that paragraph, he writes, the seals, the trumpets and the vials, the plagues. Show you they follow the seals, war and rumors of war. But trumpet denotes political disturbance, whereas seals deal with the religious disturbance. See, a seal is open, a message is dropped. In the book of the seals, we have to look for the page because he writes something about the seventh seal there. If you can find the page. A seal is open, a message is dropped, and then the church is always so set up in its own political ways, and whatever more, and all of its dignitary. And when that real message drops down, that messenger goes forth, and he shakes them to pieces. That's right. It's religious disturbance when a seal is opened. At the top he writes, the trumpet equals political disturbance. The seals equals religious disturbance. And he writes at the bottom, when the seventh seal opens to the public, a religious disturbance comes. and the squeeze will come. Page. Let us see in the seals, where he writes there, he left us a writing. 113? Let us look at 113. Because he wrote, is where he wrote, that when the seventh seal is opened, it may be the other book. It must be the other book, because it's not written here. Where he writes, what will happen when he opens or when the seventh seal is open? Now notice, there he writes in the book of quotations, but it's something like this. When the seventh seal opens to the public, a religious disturbance comes and the squeeze will come. Now, our brother William continues to say, therefore, notice, there in that age is where we will see the change from high priest to judge and king, from lamb to lion. There is where that whole change takes place, and there is where he cries out as when a lion roars and seven thunders utter their voices. In this same message, Perseverant, on page 11, the Reverend William Branham tells us, Moses had come in the presence of God, heard his voice in a miracle sign. He knowed he was a consuming fire, and here he is in the pillar of fire back in the bush. All of his education, all of his theology left him, and he knowed one thing. There was a God. Do you remember, Julian, when I got in the car? I said, truly? Now notice, he says, and he had his order. A crooked stick was good enough. He had been in the presence of God. Don't make any difference how many trained men Egypt had. Any of these things didn't mean a thing to Moses. He had been in the presence of God. I was in the presence of God. Nothing can stand before you, Jose Benjamin, he said to me. Nor to the people. Nothing can stand before you, sons and daughters of God, kings and priests, firstborns of God. Keep persevering. Be persistent. He had been in the presence of God, and he was perseverant. He is going down to take over against shield and trained men by the ten of thousands with a crooked stick in his hand. Stop him if you can. There is nothing can stop him. And he did it. He went down and took over because he was perseverant. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 and on. Notice there, with a thundering voice, and you say, but a thundering voice, and it is a scripture, when it says, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. That is determinant, because the two olive trees will continue to endure, to persevere, and they will be perseverant until they reach that goal. When he absolutely knowed that he had been in the presence of God, yes, Lord, and had heard the voice of God out of the presence of God, amen. Not only the voice was, but it was a scriptural voice. Is it not in the scripture? What did the angel say to Brother Branham? It is not in the scripture. When you pray, enter into your secret closet and pray to your Father in secret. And the one who hears you in secret will reward you openly. See, that is a scriptural voice. It will be Bible all around. Message of Brother Branham all around. Message of Dr. William Soto all around. Word all around. That is the sword. Cutting an opening way for the elect of God to reach the promised land of the new body. And nothing can stand before us because He is with us. Let Him go first. Don't try to get ahead. We are going at pace, at a distance. And there He draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. There is all kinds of voices. Check it with the Word. There to the left He writes, Revelation 11:1-14, 11:15-19, 7:1-17, and 14:1-11. The voice said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I made a promise that I would deliver those people. The time is at hand. I have heard their groaning, seen their taskmakers burdening them, and remember my promise. And I've come down to deliver them, and I'm sending you to do it. That's good enough. Glory to the Heavenly Father, to the God Creator of heavens and earth, who has sent me at this time to lead you to the promised land of the new body. Go with my word, I will be with you. Nothing can stand before you, nor the elect of God. That's good enough. He seen His glory, and away He went. And today I am here, among the Peruvian people, who have come up to the age of the cornerstone, and have entered into the dispensation of the kingdom. Therefore, the Peruvian people are already confirmed to the kingdom of the Messiah. Our brother William continues to say, that mighty angel who comes down from heaven is Christ, the Holy Spirit. That is the mystery of that angel. But the other part of the mystery of that angel, see that there is a mystery, and that is the mystery of the seventh seal. He will be there crying us when a lion roars, so that we can hear him, and we can receive the revelation of the seventh seal. The revelation of the mystery because of which silence was made in heaven for about half an hour, which is the mystery of the coming of the Lord, to obtain the faith, the revelation to be changed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Without the revelation that Christ brings in Revelation chapter 10, crying out as when a lion roars, there will be no transformation and rapture. Now notice, there is also a writing that he left us in a notebook, where he says, a message, a fanatic one, to the unbelievers will circle the earth. In other words, the unbelievers will say, that's a fanatic message. A message from the west to the east, in its journey, the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Just as the Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles will take it to the Jews. And on the Jews, he writes Peter and Paul. And on Gentiles, he writes Moses and Elijah. A message, a fanatic one, to the unbelievers will circle the earth. That is in between parentheses. Fanatic for the people who won't believe. Now he keeps on saying, that is why the coming of the mighty angel coming down from heaven is so important, who we find in the book of the seals, page 70 and 72. And other pages, that he is the messenger to Israel. He will have a relation with Israel, but he comes for his church, because the time has come for the church to be adopted. the dead in Christ to be resurrected, and the living to be transformed. And for this reason, he must speak to his church as the lion, crying as when a lion roars, and seven thunders uttering their voices. This is Christ speaking consecutively in the age of the cornerstone. Now notice in today's message, there is a place where he says, which we are going to play soon. Look here on page 17. He says, therefore, just like in Noah's time, there were people working with Noah in the construction of the ark, there will also be people who believe in that vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, working for the fulfillment of the 10th vision. There will be people blessed with prophetic insight to crystallize what was seen and made known to be happening in the midst of Christianity. There is where the third pool will be seen manifested. There is where the thunders will be uttering their voices, where what the thunders spoke will be known. There is where God will be revealing the mystery of the seventh seal. In other words, the mystery of the coming of the Son of Man for the last day. The mystery of the coming of the Lord to His church. How clearly did He spoke to us? And what is God doing today? Making known the mystery of the seventh seal. Making known the mystery of the second coming of the Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His claiming work. Now notice in the message, the third Exodus, Brother Branham tells us, and we are now facing a time for the seven trumpets. And he writes, seven trumpets, and then the vials. And maybe we could put a two-week meeting and put both of them together. I'd like to get it taped. And then beside that, I'm trying now to get it proofread and make a book out of it, of church ages. Seven books of the church ages, seven tapes, and make it in such. We can get it done just as cheap as we possibly can, so everybody can get it. Then if the Lord tarries and I move on, you'll see that the things that I have said in the name of the Lord will come to pass just as it was said. Never has failed yet, and some of it has to happen later. And there he writes, the tenth vision, the third pool, the opening of the seventh seal, in the coming of the Lord, the services under a great tenth cathedral, the altar calls, the miracles, the rapturing faith, transformation and rapture, the trumpets and the vials, Revelation 8, 1-16, with the seven latter plagues, Revelation 15, 1-6. He wrote all of that there, in that corner. In this Bible study of the third Exodus, where they put that excerpt to him, where all that would be made known in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Now, he continues to say, and therefore, he will have a messenger, a veil of flesh, through whom he will speak consecutively. And therefore, in that stage of the church, they will be going through different stages consecutively. On page 135, on the book of quotations, on paragraph 1199, the Reverend William Branham tells us, in that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage. And there he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone and the ages at the bottom. Unite the marriage. The bridegroom call will come right through this, when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. What unites? What we read in these past days. What unites the church bride? The word incarnate. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word, and the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman, I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's the Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make His word so real that it will unite the church and Him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. So we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Fill your flesh, self, of all the flesh of mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding marriage, when the word here unites with the person, and they two become one. And then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again. Not the church theologians, the Son of Man. The word and the church becomes one. And there he draws Star of David to the left, and a cornerstone in the ages. And he writes, going upwards, it manifests the Son of Man in flesh again. And at the top he writes, the wedding dash the union. The supper dash the word is made flesh. And also look on page 116, paragraph 1022, it says, and in the last day, as we are told, as it was in the days of Sodom, the bride will be united with the word of God made manifest in the flesh. And there he writes, the bride will be united by the word made flesh. And at the top he also writes the same thing, the bride will be united by the word made flesh. The Jews, when they notice him in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, they will say, this is the one we're waiting for. Now notice in the book of quotations, page 97, it tells us, from paragraph 838. And all of you are conscious and know that there is something mysterious happening. And it is happening. And I know what it is. Now, I'm just not saying that. It's the grace of God that lets me know what it is. It's something that is tremendous. And it's gone right now. And there's not a way in the world for you to see it. And, but, so help me with this Bible in my hand, I know what it is. Well, he saw it. Of course he knew what it was. It's been told you before. So, just don't try to put any interpretation. But just believe me, as your brother, see? We're living in a great hour. See? Every time you've tried to do it, you've done that. So, just don't try to make no interpretations. And especially tonight, when that seal becomes up in front of you. And he writes, the second coming of the Lord equals the seventh seal. What will become before the church? What is coming before the church? The coming of the Lord, the seventh seal. See, just now, look at what he says to the church. When that seal becomes up in front of you, see, just don't try to interpret it. If you can't understand it, this is that third pool. And he writes, the seventh seal is the third pool. Wherever the seventh seal is, there is the third pool. And he writes at the top, there is no way of seeing it, the seventh seal, but it will come up in front of you. But he comes for his church, for the resurrection of the dead in Christ and the transformation of those alive. Why? He said it, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and rise. Therefore, that man must be on earth. And then, carry out what Jesus fulfilled in his first coming, when he went to look for them. But it is only 3.5 days. Don't worry, it is a short time. But notice, there was joy, rejoicing. He says, when that glad day comes, oh, blessed be the Lord, when we see those who have gone again, your dad, your mom, your son, your friend, your brother, and we will see them again, young. Dad, mom will never be separated again. Wouldn't that be joy? Although it is a moment of squeeze, of sadness, of many things that will come in those days. But the happiness and such a great joy to see our loved ones again. Everything we would have gone through in those days, well, it will not be seen. It's like a grain of sand placed in the furthest galaxy. That is nothing compared to what awaits us. That is in the seals. We realize on seals page 428, we realize we have just a short time, and the church might go at any time. The Lamb might at any time leave the sanctuary up there, or the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God where the sacrifice lays, and then it's over. There is no more hope for the world. She is finished. Then she goes into fluctuations of great spasms of earthquakes and great shakings like it was at the resurrection. As Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, the same thing will take place. Lord, it could be at any minute. We're waiting for that glad day to arrive. That glad day is soon to come. But they are going to recognize him, says Brother William. They are going to recognize him. They are waiting for Christ, the mighty angel, the messenger to Israel. And they are waiting for Elijah. But we're not going to talk much about that. And he left it there. Now notice, at this end time, the people are required to be persistent, persevering unto the end. He that will persevere unto the end, the same shall be transformed and shall be raptured. It's been for me a great privilege and a great blessing to be here in the midst of the church bride of the Lord in Lima, Peru, a people beloved by the Lord. Let us stand. And I don't know if you have a hymn to sing to the Lord on this occasion, and to thank him because our eyes are seeing and they are receiving and they are recognizing the seventh seal in his coming. The seventh seal in front of you. Eyes that were blind, see today. I once was blind, but now I see. Lord, you see? Because we were persistent, perseverant. I don't know what hymn do you have prepared here. Whichever you have, ready. We can sing a praise. The hymn of the child that sang was very beautiful. May God bless him greatly. See, even the children are used also by God. There is a scripture that says, out of the mouth of the babes, thou hast perfected praise. That hymn touched me what I was studying back then, because he sang it with his heart, with his soul, and it reached the presence of the Lord. Matthew chapter 21 is where he tells us about the child, about children. Are you going to sing it? Okay, that's fine. Go ahead. Someone loves me. With a love so deep that there is nothing in this world that can compare it to. Someone loves me. So much and so much that drinking the most bitter cup, he was able to take my place. He did that yesterday, and he paid for my salvation in his second coming. He does the same thing today. He brings me my claim and my transformation. What a cost, what a price, what sublime love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy, because you have opened my eyes to see at this end time. And out of gratitude for that love, I want to be a submissive and obedient child. A living epistle that my life may speak for me. Someone loves me. And who shall separate me from the love of Christ, tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril? Just as the Apostle Paul said, today I say again, as a prisoner of Christ, I forever want to live. Just as the Apostle Paul said, today I say again, as a prisoner of Christ, I forever want to live. A prisoner of Christ, a prisoner of the Messiah, a prisoner of the Anointed One. You can sing the song you had prepared as well. Thank you very much to the little child. May God bless you greatly. Number one, help me. I am grateful for your great love and forgiveness. Your grace is poured out, and all of my being cries out to you. Guide my steps to reach your guidance that you determined for me, and thus fulfilled the goal. Help me, I need of you, my Lord. Rescue me from what does not please you. Deliver me from what I shouldn't do. Accept me as someone redeemed who you forgave. Forgave by grace. Only with your help and with your forgiveness, only with your grace and with your love will I reach the goal of my transformation. Help me, Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me. I need you, Lord. Rescue me from what does not please you. Deliver me from what I shouldn't do. Accept me as someone redeemed who you forgave. Forgave by grace. To be grateful, to be forgiving, is to fulfill the scriptures of the Lord. And by praying for your brother, united in love, we will reach the goal of the transformation. Help me. I need you, my Lord. Rescue me from what does not please you. Deliver me from what I should not do. Accept me as someone redeemed who you forgave by grace. God has accepted the elect of the Peruvian people, and He has placed them in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. And likewise, with every elect of God who is in different countries, because we are persevering until the end. He who perseveres until the end, the same will be transformed. Let us leave with us right away our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.